Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here tonight and even give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the program here this evening. And also, we got a special guest in the studio. I'll introduce here in just a moment. But let's open in a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you would just bless, use the program for your glory. We thank you for the opportunity. Help us to point people to Christ through the things that we talk about tonight. And we just ask that you just guide the discussion for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you again tonight. Hope you survived the deluge this past week at our house on Monday night. We had 3.7 inches of rain, and we had a little bit coming in the basement, but thankfully the sump pump kept up with everything. We didn't get flooded out, but when the weather was getting bad, my wife said, "I think we should go in the basement." And I said, "If you could have seen out in the back, the water running, it was probably about half a foot or more, maybe close to a foot deep back along the tree line." I said, "We probably would have went to the roof than the basement, I think." So, but at any rate, we survived, and I trust that you are doing okay. And stay warm tonight. They've got a frost advisory out tonight down where we live, and we're down in the bottom of a hill, and we actually touched 32 degrees last night. That's cold, but my tomatoes survived. They were up by the house, and they seem to stay warm. So if you got plants out, you might want to check on them, check on the weather here this evening. But as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And I'm joined in the studio tonight with Pastor John Lutz of North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, and he's also on the radio. If you've heard our Friday afternoon program, of course, we're on every Friday from 1:30 until 2. We could probably be on at 1 o'clock, except the guy sitting across from me here, he's on at 1 o'clock. He's got a program, and for the cause of Christ. And Pastor Lutz, welcome to the program tonight.
Brother Al, thank you so much for allowing me to be here tonight. It's a privilege and a blessing.
And it's really good. Tell us briefly, real quick, about your program in your church.
Well, boy, I'll tell you, the program's been wonderful. We've seen four families that have come to the church now through the broadcast. Several have visiting. There's actually one visiting right now who's not joined the church yet, but it's been very beneficial, and I think it's just been a work of the Lord. It's been monetarily supplied for us to be on the radio, and
right.
It's been a great thing that the Lord never thought we'd ever have that opportunity, but obviously God saw fit to make it happen. So we're very appreciative of that.
Well, that's enjoyable because I usually catch the program when I come into the studio.
Yeah, and you correct me, you know, all the things I do wrong.
I get to follow you, so I correct all of them. And then, of course, Pastor Rusnacko from the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, he follows the both of us.
And we're in trouble because if I tick everybody off, you guys don't have any listeners.
But it's a good program, and if you're able to listen on Friday afternoons at 1 o'clock, that's a good program to listen to for the cause of Christ with Pastor Lutz. Well, actually, he's here not so much to plug his program tonight, but on his program last Friday, he was talking about a particular cause that they've gotten involved in Lakewood. And it's something that's that God's put them there. He's given them the opportunity to get involved with it. And why don't you fill us in?
Well, we are located in the what's called the Birdtown section of Lakewood, mm-hmm. which is the southeast corner. There's a couple things about Birdtown. One, it's not a very big area, but it's got a lot of church buildings and a lot of bars. And specifically, right next to us, there's a side street called Thrush, right on the other side of the street. There's a foreclosed or an abandoned Byzantine Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. It's been sitting there for a couple years vacant. There's been some people in and out. They've tried to put some church congregations in. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. There's a house on the property that is in really bad shape. But there has been a proposal to the city to install a bar in that church. And they're calling it a brewery restaurant. But as most people who know, especially those who have lived in the world a while before they got saved, people don't make their money making brick oven pizzas. They make it on the alcohol and the liquor. Mm-hmm. And so we're gravely concerned about how easy this is going through the system. We had a chance the first Thursday of May to stand up at the Lakewood City Hall. Several of us concerned citizens, business owners, residents stood up, some for, some against, but just presenting some of the issues that were going on. But I've got to tell you, once the words $1.8 to $2 million investment came on, right, I really sensed that everybody glossed over and said, wow, this is a great thing.
It brings in money.
Well, and that's it. And because right now it's not producing any money, mm-hmm. it hasn't in years because it was a church, so it was tax exempt. So there's a revitalization project that's going on in Birdtown that they're trying to make it more accessible to families, quote unquote, like Tremont and Ohio City, like both of them mm-hmm. have done, which are a lot of neighborhood bars, a lot of microbreweries, and this is what it would be. They would be brewing their own beer right there twice a week. And so we don't believe that this is good for the community. One of our church members came to me and said, "Preacher, do you know there's 91 bars in the city of Lakewood?" Now, Lakewood's only 5.5 square miles. Now, that's a lot of bars for that little bit. But we're not so concerned right now about the other areas. We're concerned about Birdtown and specifically the church building right next to us. You've got parking issues. I mean, parking is a premium in Lakewood.
I've been through there.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. And we don't even have our own parking lot. I mean, the school across the street is so mm-hmm. gracious in allowing us to park there. Not only our church, but there's another church that's functioning that parks there on Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. So you've got that. You've got a school, an elementary school right across the street from us. So it'd be directly catty corner to where this bar is going to go in. And there seems to be no concern about this. In fact, what's amazing to me, and we've got a very good relationship, I believe, with the city in treating them with respect and reverence and mm-hmm. those type of things. But it's amazing how liberal many of their policies are. And when they go to the voters, it's for the sake of the children. In this particular case, it's not for the sake of the children. I was told it's for the free market, Pastor. Like all of a sudden, now we're venture capitalists in this. Because why? Because now there's tax revenue. And this is we're seeing this as a way for them to get in the door. And unfortunately, the gentleman who is proposing this is very well known in Cleveland. He has many establishments in Tremont. The family's been around. The family's been involved in government in Cleveland for a long time. Mm-hmm. The Lenahan family. And they're just... they're very ingrained. So we understand that on a human level, we're going up against a big foe here.
Right.
And we have no idea what God's going to do, but we do believe we have a responsibility to let people know in the community. And so we've put some tools together to try and inform the community. And some of the things that we've done, the banners went up today. We have two banners that went up that just simply say our neighborhood, our questions. And it's got a new, brand new website that we put together called nomorebarsinbirdtown.com. Mm-hmm. And so people can go to that website and they can see a picture of the church building that they're attempting to renovate or wanting to renovate. And it'll give all kinds of information. We have an open letter that I put together that we're actually distributing in the community. We're going to distribute, mm-hmm. knock on every door. We understand it's difficult for people to go to the meeting at the city hall, but we're encouraging them to go. And if they can't go, we're going to have a petition available for them to sign their name and their address to show that, hey, we've got a list of people here who are not satisfied with what's going to happen here. And so again, some of those tools, and through that website, we also have a new Facebook and a Twitter feed as well that we can you can get a hold of us there.
And they can access that from the website.
Yeah, right from the website.
And the website again?
NoMoreBarsInBirdTown.com.
And is Birdtown spelled B-I-R or B-Y?
Yeah, B-I.
B-I.
Yeah, just Bird. Okay. Yeah, just B-I-R-D-T-O-W-N, BirdTown.com. Yeah.
Now, what I find interesting with this is prior to where our church meets today, and of course, our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, we met in a building that we rented, and that building was located across from another hotel in Richfield that had a bar in it at the time, and periodically, their liquor license would come up for review. And when it came up for review, we would get a questionnaire, because I guess it's the State Liquor Board. They have restrictions on who can get liquor licenses. And if there's a school, if there's a church, if there's, a playground, and a number of other things within, I believe it's 500 feet of where the liquor license is going to be, they have to send a letter. And so we would fill out this questionnaire. And since the place was already there, you know, when we moved in, it was already there.
Yeah.
And there were other places that had permits within 500 feet as well. They were already there. It really wasn't something that we could protest in the sense of saying we have a moral objection to being located next to a place that serves alcohol. So we always went on record as we don't like the fact that they're serving alcohol, but we know we can't do anything about it in our case. But that was something that was already there. We moved into the situation. Yeah. You didn't move into the situation. You have gotten yourself established. And now this is a case of a brand new liquor license coming in. To me, it seems like you have a great opportunity here because we're called to be salt and light.
Yeah.
In the world. And when you think of what alcohol has done, the cost that it has in our communities, people think about the good, the revenue that it brings in.
Yeah.
But there's the cost. There's the societal cost.
Oh, yeah.
And that's that.
Really incalculable what those costs are.
Absolutely.
I think some of the we've kind of gotten as a society so accustomed to say, well, that's just how it is. And that's what it is. And, and you know, it's just another bar. It's just, you know. But you're right. We were there. While we were there, that church was functioning when we first started. And, since they closed down, again, nothing's been going on. But, it's a situation in which a year ago, the city went ahead and switched the zoning to a mixed overlay zone, which basically means everything there was zoned residential.
Right.
And then they made it a commercial and residential. So that as long as somebody lives on the property, you can also have a business. Some of our contentions are, well, that's great, but I don't know that it was intended for a bar. The more we look at it, it probably was intended for a bar. It just wasn't. I don't know how it was presented
kind of
in that way.
A stealthy way of coming in.
Right. And now it's like, well, here, and you know, some of the comments at the city hall is, hey, we've worked 10 years for this. This is where we're getting it. This is what we want to do. And this is going to be beneficial. This is going to be good. Without looking at some of the particulars of what devastation, and you know, this is where the matter of conscience comes in, because unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians that are callous to the fact that God doesn't want you drinking wine, doesn't want you drinking alcohol. In fact, I just read an article from John R. Rice, it was called "The Double Curse of Booze," and he said it doesn't matter how much you drink, you're still a drunkard. If you only drink one beer, it takes you 8 beers to get drunk, you're 1/8 drunk. It was a great premise of basic principles to say, as soon as that alcohol hits you, it dumbs down your facilities. It affects the nerves. And while maybe because somebody builds up tolerance to it, still doesn't mean it doesn't affect it. So what's going to happen when that first child gets hit by an impaired driver that leaves that facility?
Oh, right across from the school.
Well, not even that. Well, here's their way around it. Well, we're not opening till 4:00. Well, the school closes at 3:00. Well, the problem with that is, and here's our contention, these families that go to this school live in this community.
Mm-hmm.
So those same kids that go to the school are outside playing. They're riding their bikes. They're running up and down, skateboarding, and they're mm-hmm. they're playing football. And so you've got this. You've got people that are going to be congregating on a front porch, drinking beer and doing all kinds of things. And you got kids that are all around that neighborhood. Now, we all right. know statistically, and the World Health Organization just came out with an article just this week. It was on the front page of Yahoo.com that talked about the effect of alcohol on crime. And mm-hmm. it statistically, it goes up as soon as you bring alcohol.
Absolutely.
You can't refute that. And so, but they're looking to refute this. And, you know, some of our contentions are the gentleman who wants the liquor license. You know, he says, well, we've never had any problems in 20 years that we've had all of our establishments. Yet public record shows he had a 17-year-old kid that came in, a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old, that pistol-whipped the bartender, tried to rob them. Mm-hmm. Two off-duty policemen were in the place. They shot and killed the 17-year-old, and the 19-year-old got away, but they eventually caught him.
Hmm.
So to say nothing happened, I said, well, what if that happens, you know, when one of the deliveries going on? Somebody comes in and tries to, where you're going to have gunshots ringing out. You got an elementary school across the street. You got kids playing. I mean, mm-hmm. there's so many things that have to be examined for the safety. And it's like they're just throwing safety to the wind.
I right.
mean, these aren't even spiritual arguments.
Mm-hmm.
These are common sense, human interaction arguments that are just being blown right over.
When you would think that in that type of a business, they would want it more in the downtown area. Or some commercial area, like although they did change the zoning to make it commercial, but you would think in an area that was more traditionally commercial, where you expect traffic and you don't have children playing in the streets in front of. Yeah, it kind of amazes me. The liberal mindset is always, we need to do this for the children, for the children, until it directly affects their pocketbook.
Sure,
and then it's for the money,
right,
and for economic development and. There's economic development that doesn't entail putting an establishment such as that right next to a church across from a grade school in the midst of a residential neighborhood. It does change the character of the neighborhood. It affects what people see. It affects what people view. And the kids grow up seeing, you know, they're right there. It's right there. And
Yeah, it's right in front of them. So, I mean,
all the time.
How can you, I mean, we're still continue to speak out against it.
Yeah.
But again, it's just reinforcing something. You know, you bring up about being in a commercial district. I know this week there's been some talk and interviews with Jim Mulledy. Jim Mulledy mm-hmm. was the owner and is the owner of Winchester Music Hall right there on Madison Avenue.
Right.
And Jim got saved in 2008. He's been attending our church for about the last two and a half years on Wednesday night. He's been coming periodically, and we've had some great conversations. And Jim has struggled with this issue of being a Christian and serving alcohol. And sadly enough, one of the reasons he had a struggle was there was a United Church of Christ pastor
mm-hmm.
that they used to come in his establishment and get drunk. And so it reinforced the negative side to say, well, it must be okay, because this guy wouldn't do it if it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim's grown a lot, tremendously. I mean, he's on the air many times. He fills in for Molly mm-hmm. with the abortion, the pro-life.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's filled in for him and his wife have done many times. Well, this past week, he just couldn't take it anymore, so he shut the place down. He called a bunch of people, said, shows are off. I know I'm not doing the Lord's work. I have to do right in the eyes of God.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a man who has been very successful. And had the number one live music venue in the last 3 years in the city of Cleveland.
Hmm.
Yet he's come to the point where God has led him away from alcohol. And so that's the bigger issue. But here's what we brought up. The Winchester Music Hall is now for sale on Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't that be used? It's already zoned. It already has a liquor mm-hmm. license.
Yes.
All you got to do is spend the $2 million there and renovate it.
Mm-hmm.
But they want something nostalgic. They want something that's going to infect or go further into the community. And again, they're trying to pattern Tremont and Ohio City. And what happens is it pushes the poor out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they bring these, they're going to put too much. I told our people, if this goes through, it's going to be one of the most pristine buildings in all of Birdtown.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do this in a cheap way, and they're going to make it look nice. But they're not going to put up with the rest of the homes that are 100 years old around them. And they sit there and try to tell you. One realtor actually said, that now these homes in Birdtown are going for $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, maybe $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
He literally stood there and said, I could see your homes going up to $150,000. We should have said, put that in writing, because let's see that happen, because that's not going to happen.
Of course, your taxes are going to reflect that, too.
Yeah, right, exactly, which they would love. But the point is, the only way they can accomplish that is the same thing they did in Ohio City, the same thing they did in Tremont. That's to raise those homes and build new homes and new condos like mm-hmm. they've done all over, which the poorer people of the community right. cannot afford, and so it just squeezes them out. So once mm-hmm. again, you see liberal policies that are wrong towards the poor, yet being propagated as this is good for the community. And all it's doing is squeezing out the poor among us. And what we're saying is, no, the poor need the Lord. The poor are rich in faith. They need mm-hmm. this. They don't need more more alcohol. And I would challenge the people of the city of Lakewood. I wonder how many of you have stopped to pick people up that have been drunk walking down Madison, because this preacher has.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched them fall down to their knees, old right. men that are drunk and trying to get them to their house, and policemen stopping by and helping. And, you know, I haven't seen anybody else do. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying, I wonder how much of that investment, if they really see the effect mm-hmm. of that alcohol. And, you know, we saw these beautiful pictures of all these buildings that they're going to rehab and do. You can't show pictures of lives. You can't show the families that are broken, the kids that have been beaten, the women that have been, you know, sexually or physically, verbally abused
mm-hmm.
because somebody took some alcohol. We don't want to look at that, because that you don't see that on the billboard. All you see is the party, and
right.
you see the beautiful women mm-hmm. and the fancy fun stuff. And but we all know that the reality is there's always the next morning. And so knowing that, we want to get the word out and let people start thinking about some practical things, about the kids, right. about parking. You know, they're going to put families in danger because those families are going to have to park further away from their mm-hmm. homes. Some people come home at, you know, 2-3 in the morning. Maybe they work.
Yeah, people have shift works and things like
so,
that. Yeah.
So what's going to happen? He's going to run into some drunks there. And mm-hmm. it just, we hope and we pray that it's not falling on deaf ears.
Yeah.
We're encouraging people to come out June 5th, specifically if you live in Lakewood. And specifically, if you live in Birdtown, man, we have got to get you. If you are against this, we have got to get your voice up there. Numbers matter. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go up. We're going to stand there. And if there's a few of us, that's fine. It's kind of interesting. We have a Turkish Muslim guy two doors down from us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's rallying the troops of the Turkish Muslims because they're against it, too.
Yeah.
And they see the effects of this, too. So.
Yeah, when we think about this, a lot of times people are thinking, oh, wait a minute. I mean, I you know, might have a few drinks or something like that. I don't get drunk. I don't do all that kind of stuff. But whether or not they do, others do.
Yeah.
And I remember my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands. And in Samoa, where we were at, if I remember correctly, the Samoan Islands had, I believe, one of the highest rates of alcoholism in the world.
Yeah.
And we saw the effects of that. I mean, we personally had a drunk pass out on the wall right outside our bedroom window. Our house had a wall going around the bottom edge of the window. And my wife wakes me up one night. What is that noise? And he was out snoring, laying there on the wall. And not the same drunk, but another night we had a drunk. And we weren't living in town. We were living in a nice area.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a depressed area or anything like that. And it's just people who, they got off working at the canneries, and they got drunk and after work. And another night, guy came out, and he was loudly carousing by himself, going up the road in front of our house. And I forget what he did. He hollered something at us. And I, you know, it was the middle of the night. I said something about being quiet. And a few minutes later, a rock comes crashing through the window.
Oh, nice.
You know, I mean, these things happen.
Yeah.
And it was nothing to travel around and see women with black eyes, big bruises across the side of their face because their husband was drunk and beat them.
Yeah.
And it was nothing to hear stories from some of the kids that we worked with there in the Samoan Islands talking about how their dad got drunk and did something, either took a coat hanger to them or an extension cord to them and whipped them.
Wow.
And the things of that nature. People don't see that. There's a great story that comes out of Samoa. Robert Louis Stevenson, I know we're coming up on the break, and you're time's going to be up here quickly, but there's a place called Vailima, and Vailima, Vi is water, and Lima is five. It means five waters or streams. There's only four streams there, and Robert Louis Stevenson built a house there, and he lived in the Samoan Islands for a while, and he asked why it's called Five Rivers rather than Four Rivers. It should have been Vi-Fa. And they said, well, the fifth river is a spiritual river. And when it appears, an Aitu, which is literally a demon, appears in the form of a beautiful woman, lures the man into the river, and if he goes in after her, he'll go to his destruction. And what happened is later on, the Samoan national beer is called Vailima. Guess where it's produced? There's four rivers, and the fifth one is the brewery of the Samoan National Beer.
Wow.
And that floods out through the Samoan Islands, and it wreaks havoc. People don't pay their bills. We've dealt with people, couldn't pay their electric, couldn't pay their water bills because the money was drunk up. It all went for Vailima. Homes that were disrupted, divorces, children beaten, wives beaten. All the societal costs, not just a rock through our window, but stuff all over those islands. And we saw it firsthand. And this is the kind of stuff we're called to be salt and light in the world.
Yeah.
We're coming up on the end of the hour or the end of the half hour, coming up on a break. Give that website again how people can find out more information.
Sure. That's nomorebarsinbirdtown.com. And again, you can get Facebook off that, Twitter off that. There's a question thing and comment thing. You can go right through that. So thank you so much, Brother Al, for letting us be here.
Glad to have you on here tonight. We're coming up our break. Stick with us. We've got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is PastorAl@MapleKnoll.us. You can also visit our website at LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. That's LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to have you give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here. Got one caller waiting, and if you'll hold on, we'll get to you here in just a couple minutes. And, of course, we're brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. More information about that given at the end of the program as well. But also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights has Lebanese food, sandwiches, wraps, salads, a whole lot more than just pizza there. You can find East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, and maybe you've looked into it and may have been scared off by some of the high franchise fees, why don't you give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza shop for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program here. And like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, the phone number is 888-677-9673. And Jeremiah has been patiently waiting for us. Jeremiah, welcome to the program.
Hey, Pastor.
Hey, good evening. Welcome.
Yeah, is Pastor Lutz still on there?
Yeah, he was kind of in a hurry because he actually, that was a spur-of-the-moment thing. He originally was only going to stay about 15 minutes, but he got on a roll. So he kept on talking, and we just went with that.
I was going to say hi to him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, he saw your name on the board. And if he remembers your name, I'm sure that he might have wondered if that. Well, at any rate, I mean, he's listening right now. You can say hi. So,
hey, Pastor Lutz, how you doing?
So there he goes, because he's headed home right now. So I'm listening on the radio. So, but
he's a great man of God.
Yeah. Enjoy his friendship and enjoy listening to his program on Friday afternoons from 1 until 1:30. He precedes our Friday afternoon program.
And, yeah, I have iHeart Radio on my phone. So
okay.
I listen to Friday afternoons at 1, and I listen to you at 1:30.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate you holding on because I saw you called in there about the midpoint of the last half hour, and so I appreciate you holding on.
We definitely don't need another bar in this town, Bird Town, because I see what the effects of alcohol can do to somebody, and it's basically the devil's brew. Basically, it's the devil's curse, alcohol, what it does to somebody. It transforms mm-hmm. their personality. It turns into a totally different person. It's like the devil has a hold of them, the alcohol does, a hold of the person.
Yeah, and, you know, the Bible talks about being sober-minded, and it's not talking about sober-minded in the sense of sobriety like we normally think of it, but it talks about being in control of your mind, in control of your faculties. And we're supposed to be, as believers, controlled by the Spirit of God. But unfortunately, what alcohol does, anybody that's ever been around it knows that what it does is it breaks down your will and your resistance, and you become controlled more by the alcohol than you do by your mind. And so it causes all kinds of problems.
It also it also give you a bad temper, too, because I've seen effects of alcohol.
I remember when I was in college, I went to Colorado State living in the dorms. And we had one guy on our floor. I remember him to this day. He was the nicest, most mild-mannered guy you could imagine. And he was a real likable guy and got along well with everybody until he had a few too many drinks. One time he ripped the payphone off the wall and threw it down the hall at somebody. And things like that. He kicked out plate glass window in the breezeway connecting to the dining hall. But, you know, sober-minded, sober, he was totally different person.
It can definitely turn into a monster.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I don't like smoking, and I know people smoke legal product just like alcohol is, but I'll tell you what, I've not yet turned on the news and heard breaking news, family killed by wrong way smoker getting on the highway and hitting them head on. I don't hear those stories, and I've just heard too many stories where people being killed and people getting on the highway driving the wrong way. I remember a few years back when my wife and I got married, there was a case down in Kentucky on, I believe it was Interstate 71 headed toward Louisville, and there was a church group that had been returning from Kings Island late at night, and I forget how many people on the bus. I don't know if my wife remembers the number of people, but there must have been about 18 people or so on this bus, or 18, 20 people, and a number of them were killed, and several of them were injured severely. And the reason was there had been a guy who got on the highway, and he'd had a bit too much, and he was driving on the wrong side of the highway with no lights on in the dark of the night, head on into the bus full of kids. And, you know, you hear stories like that over and over and over. And so I just don't have a lot of, you know, sympathy sometimes. I understand it's a legal product. We do have the freedom. But at the same time, just like Pastor Lutz was bringing out, we also have the freedom as believers to protest. And I like what he brought out. There's a place that is available that they could move their business into. But it's displacing it in the residential neighborhood. You know, any other time we say for the children. Well, what about for the children here? What about for the elementary school across the street? What about for the children that live and play on the street? And I grew up in a more country rural setting, and, you know, we had space all around us. But I understand people living in town. You know, I've driven through some of those streets in Lakewood, and where do the kids have to play? But on the sidewalks, and quite oftentimes in some of the streets. And, you know, it's just a very close area. In fact, Lakewood, if I'm not mistaken, is one of the most densely populated areas between, I believe, New York City and Chicago. It just stands to reason that you would not want that in a residential neighborhood like that.
I have a couple of questions.
Yes, sir.
First question is if the hope and pray that bar doesn't, you know, move in there, but if it does, is that going to affect people? Is it people going to have to move around that area?
Well, what Pastor Lutz was saying is that the realtor was suggesting that their real estate values are going to increase dramatically. And you know, that's always a mixed bag, because if your house is an investment, then you make a lot of money when your house goes up in value. But at the same time, when your house goes up in value, your taxes go up. And one of the things that, and this is just me, I understand that our country, we have to pay taxes to be able to, you know, pay for the police and the fire, and in Richfield, our taxes pay for our trash pickup and things of that nature as well. And I understand that, but property taxes to me have always been something that I have mixed feelings about, because if you own your own home and you do not pay your property taxes, the government will take your home from you eventually. You know, we kind of experienced this, our church did, because our church rented a building in Richfield where we were meeting for a number of years, and we did not own the building. The people who owned the building did not pay taxes on it for, I think, about 6 years, I think is what it came out to. And so the county took the building out from under them and sold it at auction. And, of course, we lost a place to meet. That's how come we meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, because the building that we rented, the government took it because of failure to pay property taxes. And it just always seems kind of sad to me that somebody that's worked all their life pays off their house, and then if they can't afford the taxes, the government's going to evict them and take their property and sell it. But if you have somebody who's living on a fixed income and their house is valued at, say, $20,000, and all of a sudden it shoots up to $120,000, I could just imagine that they're going to have problems paying the tax bill on that house. And of course, somebody would argue, well, they could just sell the house, make a nice return on their investment on that house. But not everybody wants to sell. Some people, you know, I did a funeral for a guy not too long ago. He was born, I mean, literally born in the house that he grew up in. He got married and lived in all his life and raised his family in, and he died in the very same house that he was born in. And it was even better than that. His father, I believe it was born in that very same house. And so he had an attachment to that house. And sometimes people get attached to where they live and they don't want to move. And so somebody shouldn't just have to move. So that's a whole other area too. But we understand, we want the economy to move forward and all that, and provide jobs. But and I know we're a little off our usual topics here tonight. And even as a pastor, I like to see people, you know, move into a neighborhood and new families come in, because it's an opportunity to reach people and to share the gospel with them, and hopefully see people get saved and join the church and get involved in helping to build a church. And so that's a thing too. But at the same time, you know, you got to realize there's more to life than just making money. And I'm certainly a capitalist at heart. I enjoy making money, but there's more to life than making money. There's a quality of life. And I think that's what Pastor Lutz was talking about. I recognize prohibition is not going to come back, and prohibition certainly wasn't without its problems. But at the same time, just because something is legal doesn't mean it has to be everywhere. And a good example of that is the internet cafes that exploded all over the place a few years back, and now thankfully most of them have disappeared. They tried putting them all over the place, and just because it was legal at the time didn't mean that they should be everywhere. And besides, as Christians, the Bible calls us to be salt and light, make a difference. Hold up a moral standard to the world. Is everybody going to meet the same moral standard that I have? Absolutely not. I recognize that. I'm a realist. I try to share the gospel with people. And first and foremost, I want to see people saved. And as people read the Bible and study the Bible, my hope is that the Holy Spirit will work in their heart. And the Holy Spirit will begin changing some of their thoughts and their attitudes, and begin turning them into a moral, a godly individual that will be productive and a help to the society around them. And that's part of our responsibility, of course. But first and foremost, we want to see people saved. And a lot of times, some of these things, you know, they certainly hinder some of the church work. Imagine having a church service on a midweek service or special meetings at night, while meanwhile you've got a big party going on next door in the bar, and you can see where that can cause some problems just for the church in that respect, or school activities at night. But at any rate, we don't have to talk all about this tonight. I know you had maybe some other questions.
One person that can definitely move that bar to somewhere else is God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And that's just it. And if the place gets built, does that mean that Pastor Lutz and the church are going to close up shop and go? No, it'll be like what our church did one time, when actually our church, one time years and years ago, this is back in the early days of the church, actually met next to a place that had a bar. And somebody asked us about it, and they said, "Are you sure you want to meet here?" And we said, "Well, frankly, we think the people in the bar would have a greater problem with us than we would with them, not too worried about it in that sense. But they're trying to be salt and light in their community, which they should be.
I definitely will pray that that bar will move somewhere else.
Yeah.
I'll be the one to sign a petition, too, to not have that bar there.
Yeah, well, we'll get that website here again. Let me give that website name out again. You can go on and look at that. NoMoreBarsInBirdTown.com. And that's all one word, NoMoreBarsInBirdTown.com. And pray for them.
Then we'll keep that in prayer that God will move that bar somewhere else.
All right, appreciate that. Thank you.
That should be a building of God, and that should be a house of God and church of God, not
a
bar.
Or at least put to some other use that might be more beneficial to the community. And so, anyway, but appreciate your call tonight, Jeremiah.
Excellent.
Thank you. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. I was thinking as Jeremiah was talking about how God can move that. I have a friend that lives in Barberton, Ohio, and I remember getting off the highway, getting off 76. I get out on Interstate 76 and getting off on Barber Road. If people are familiar with that area, there's a large auto dealership there. But right there where you come off the ramp, it used to be a they call them adult bookstores. I guess that's the term they come up with. Better term is a dirty bookstore, I guess. But I remember that being there, and my friend and I were talking about it one time, and I said, well, we got to just pray that God gets rid of it. And I'm not claiming any connection to this, but we did. We prayed that God would get rid of the bookstore, the adult bookstore. And I'm not sure how long it was after that. I don't know if it was close to a year or less than a year, but it burned down. I didn't have anything to do with it. I don't believe my friend had anything to do with it either, but it did. It burned down. Now they've just built an oil change place there in its stead. But while it was there, I mean, it did. It sort of was a blight on that area right where you got off the highway. And so as Christians, we're called to be salt and light in the world. We need to try to make a difference in the community around us. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians have bought into the fact that we shouldn't let our opinions be known, that we should not get involved in things like this. Are we going to win every time? No. But, you know, other groups get involved in things. I thought it was interesting. Pastor Lutz was talking about some Turkish Muslims in the neighborhood. Interesting bedfellows, huh? A Bible-believing independent Baptist church and Turkish Muslims united on the same cause. Only in America, huh? But that's the thing. We live in America. We have the right to voice our opinion. And just because you're a church, just because you're a pastor, just because you're a Christian, doesn't mean you relinquish your right to voice your opinion and to let your thoughts be known in a public forum. And I know there's people who are going to say, well, Pastor Lutz and that church, they should just be quiet. It's none of their business. They should just keep their religion within their four walls. Well, I'd like to say I wish that they could keep their activity at some of these bars within their four walls, but it does spill out onto our highways, and I've not read any stories about somebody leaving an all-night prayer meeting or a late-night prayer meeting and going out the wrong way down the highway and running into somebody. So, you know, it's I guess, a matter of perspective. But we know that God's called us to make a difference. God's called us to stand on the truth, and I appreciate Pastor Lutz's passion. So, again, that website was nomorebarsinbirdtown.com, and I just wanted to help them out there a little bit with that. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. And we don't have to talk about that topic all night. Certainly, we've been on it for a while, but we've had a number of things coming up. And I'm going to change directions here a little bit unless you give us a call tonight. And if you want to keep talking about that or something else, we got just a couple minutes more, though, down to, I guess, getting to about our last 5 minutes here in the program. And I wanted to hit on something that I was mentioning on our Friday program. And this is just going to just a couple moments just to review this real quick. I had an article I discussed this past Friday The headline was "Scientists Create First Living Organism from Artificial DNA," and I thought, okay, that doesn't ring right just looking at that. And so I read the article and followed some of the links to some of the original information. And to say that the headline was slightly misleading is an understatement. The headline would have been more accurate to say scientists modify existing organism with artificial DNA. And basically what they did was they produced an artificial pair of DNA bases. Now, you look at the DNA molecule, it looks like if you took a ladder, and you know how you get your straight ladder going up and it's got the rungs in between the sides of the ladder, and if you twisted that ladder so it was twisted, that would give you the general structure of the DNA molecule. And what would be the rungs on the ladder are DNA bases. And there's four bases. They're given by the letters A, T, C, and G. And that stands for these various bases. And of those four bases, A and T always combine with each other. C and G always combine with each other. Never a C and an A, or a G and a T, or a T and a C, or an A and a G. Only A's and T's, and G's and C's. That's how they always combine. And they, through a lot of effort and a lot of work, they came up with two other bases, artificial bases, and they came up with these two bases that would combine into a base pair, and they were able to take an existing bacterium, E. coli. That's the same thing every once in a while you hear about somebody getting sick because a salad was had something on it, and people getting sick from E. coli. That's a very well-studied bacteria. We know a lot about it. And with a lot of effort, product of more than 15 years of work, they were able to incorporate these two artificial bases. And we can just, for the sake of argument, call them D5 and DN. And they combine them in artificial base pair so that you had the AT base pairs and the CG base pairs, and then this D5-DN base pair. And they successfully got the E. coli to reproduce that artificial base pair, but they had to constantly work with it and make sure it had the right chemicals and nutrients supplied so it can produce that. And so hardly coding. And I looked at that, and they're trying to say this, after spending millions of dollars on this, over 15 years of work, we have proven that life can arise by chance with no intelligence whatsoever. And that's what gets me all the time when I see these things. All the work and all the effort that they put in to show that it takes no work or effort. It makes no sense. But it is a significant achievement to put in this artificial base pair. And that brings me to a subject. And I just sort of intro this. I know we're coming up on the end of the program. And I was talking with somebody about the subject of transhumanism. And interesting subject, and I threw this out because I want to get into this subject maybe at a later time. Maybe next week we'll talk about it a little bit. I'm reading a book right now, and it's the effort to transform fundamentally at the genetic level even the human being into a superhuman. And to me, it sounds an awful lot like what happened in the days of Noah before the flood. And you know, the Bible tells us when the Lord returns, it'll be like it was in the days of Noah. The Bible says there were giants in the land, the product of the sons of God and the daughters of man. And I just want to throw that out as an introductory sort of thing there. And you can look up some information on that. And if you find something good, you can email me. The email address will be coming up here in the notes here at the end of the program. But thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week. God bless, and have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at PastorAl@MapleKnoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. That's LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.